Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Okay, welcome into the Labatt Studio. You have found the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, always bleed blue and white, and if you're thirsty, drink blue and light. Hey, thanks everyone for joining us. We appreciate it. You found the Keystone Sports Network, and our promise to you is a full hour of Penn State football talk each and every week. That's our mission, and we are here to fulfill it. I'm Andy Shea. Joining me, Bob Flounders, Penn State football beat writer for Penn Live and the Patriot News, and as always, Ross the Boss. Ross Tucker is here as well. Gentlemen, how you doing? We got a full one today, gents.
Another eventful off-season week so far.
It really is. I mean, there's multiple news items that we need to get into and discuss a lot. So let's get it going.
All right, let's do get rolling. News and notes are going to kick us off, as Ross said. Tucker's Tape, that'll be quarter number two. New series alert. Ross is breaking down the 2020 recruiting class, all 27. We're going to get started with that. Quarter number three, we've got your questions and his answers. It's Ask Ross, presented by 409tailgateclub.com. And in quarter four, the sequel, new series alert two, Bob Flounders' 25 most important Penn State players in 2020, and we will do them in descending order.
Descending order.
There we go. All right, let's start with news and notes. There is no other place to start this week than the news that recently broke that running back Ricky Slade, the former five-star 2018 class recruit who'll be a junior, he is in the transfer portal. The native of Virginia will take classes, it appears, through the spring semester and most likely join a new team if he finds a place over the summer. I'm not sure if he's graduated in the spring. He was an early enrollee, as I remember.
I would say he would have to have really been hitting the books pretty hard, yeah, just because it's a very short time frame to graduate.
So transfer portal, possibility of sitting out a year is on the table, but football-wise, it looks like Penn State's very full running back room, now that the 2020 class is complete, will be minus one former five-star, Ross.
Yep. Can't say that I'm totally surprised. I think loyal listeners to the Keystone Sports Network, number one, should be following us on Twitter, at KSN Sportsnet, at Ross Tucker NFL, at Bobby Flow 7, at AP Shea.
Thank you.
They should be following us, but also spreading the word to their friends about us, but also they would know that we kind of thought there was a distinct possibility of this. I am always intrigued by the timing of things. Bob, correct me if I'm wrong, but the news came out immediately after Franklin spoke to you guys. Is that true?
It's almost literally minutes after. It wasn't Franklin, but after we got done with all the coordinators.
Right, but it's almost like they knew this was happening within the last few days and asked him to wait to announce it till after the press conference.
I don't think it was a coincidence. You're probably
right.
It was
up. Right. So I guess they did not want to have to answer questions about it.
I think that's what it was.
Would be my guess. There's a lot of different things that are interesting here. One is, was he approached at all about maybe moving to wide receiver like we had discussed? Is he definitely gone, or is there a chance he comes back? We have seen some guys like Lamont Wade come back. You know, is this college's version of free agency where they're going to let Ricky see what running back opportunities there might be out there for him? You know, he is the fourth running back out of the four in my mind. There's got to be places where he could be the number two running back. Maybe even number one, but got to be the number two, or at least competing for playing time.
Old Dominion.
Yeah, really. So if he wants to go somewhere else, he's from Virginia, by the way, wants to go somewhere else and be a running back, I think this is very understandable. I personally would have tried to sell him on the fact that his future is as a wide receiver, as a slot receiver. His best bet in the NFL is as a slot receiver, and if you're the fourth string running back at Penn State behind two true freshmen and a junior that wasn't very heavily touted, what are the odds that you really are a pro caliber running back? Like, what are the odds that you, so you can go somewhere else and I'm sure get more touches and get the ball more, but the odds that you're really going to end up being good enough to be a pro football player at that position are probably not real good. Maybe he feels the opposite, though. Maybe he feels like all he needs is to get more of a rhythm, get more touches, and that he can show he's really better than those other guys.
Yeah, and I think just, if you just look back to last season, the writing was on the wall early. I mean, it was pretty clear that Penn State was able to run the ball early in the season, and I thought the offensive line got better. And you saw it from Journey Brown. You saw it from Noah Kane right away. You saw it from Devin Ford, who went 80 yards in one of his first games. But Ricky never, ever got going during the season. And it was puzzling to me because I thought his true freshman season when he backed up Miles Sanders, I thought every time he went in the game, he was productive. He scored a touchdown in his first game against Appalachian State, and they needed that score. And it just looked like, you know, with another year of winter conditioning, with Miles Sanders out of the way, five-star recruit, showed a lot of good things as a true freshman, that the sky was the limit. I mean, we were talking about how many yards was he going to get now that he would get 15 to 20 carries. And literally from the first couple of games, there was no separation. There was no yards after contact. He struggled to get open in space. And he almost became more valuable as a pass receiver as the season went on, which led to us talking about that. But he I don't want to say he went backwards, but the jump that we all thought was coming, not only did it not happen, he didn't do anything all year.
So two questions here. One is, do you think that they would let him back?
I think when you listen to James's news conference about the transfer portal and things have to change and people taking the path of least resistance, and I don't know if I agree with the proposal about the one-time transfer rule. I don't think they would. I also think that
because they got to get their numbers down,
yeah,
as it is,
and I think they're trying to pair the roster. And with the talent that they have, I think James has to look at it and say, you know, like, how do you sell Ricky on coming back as a running back? I guess is what, if he's determined to be a running back, how do you sell him on staying at Penn State and waiting for these next three or four guys to, you know, cycle through, and maybe in a couple of years you're going to play.
The other part of that I think is interesting is the whole wide receiver I think it mentioned, but also, you know, I think it came out recently that Virginia Tech had like 12 guys go in the portal and some of them wanted to come back. Virginia Tech said, yeah, too bad.
Yeah, no.
I think that's what more and more schools are doing. You have to, for roster right. management, salary cap management. Wow. Scholarship management.
What schools are you talking about?
You have to, though. You have to at this point. So I don't know if he would be welcome back.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. We are your source for Penn State football news and analysis 52 weeks a year. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Spotify, and at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, or better yet, download our app, Keystone Sports. We never stop talking Penn State football. Quarter number one, we're rolling on. We've got to one news and note item. Bob Flounders, Ross Tucker, Andy Shea. A little bit from late last week, but I still want to get your gentleman's take on it. The coaching carousel, it sort of continues through this offseason with Sean Spencer, longtime defensive line coach with mm-hmm. James, announced that he's going to the New York Giants of the National Football League. He's been with James for nearly a decade, going back to the Vanderbilt days. Feels like, to me, on many fronts, not in terms of he's taking a promotion or moving up. From a Penn State perspective, it just feels like a bit of a gut punch. Not intentional, not a dirty gut punch, but just that one hurts, right? That
Very
one really
awesome
hurts.
At his job, developed players. You know, when he got here, you know, Carl Nassib, I mean, I'm sure the Bill O'Brien staff had a little bit to do with it, but Carl Nassib blossomed, Zettel blossomed, you know, Austin Johnson blossomed, you know, they've pretty much every year, it's been one or two guys that have jumped to the front. I think he was pretty invaluable as a recruiter. And, you know, at this stage of the game, how do you possibly replace him for this year, given how good he was at his job? I mean, he's got to be on the short list of top defensive line coaches in the country. Just real quick, Ross, the difference between a defensive line coach in college and a defensive line coach in the NFL, just in terms of, you know, what Sean, what kind of adjustment does Sean have to make, do you think?
Well, not as much of one as you would think, not as much of one as other positions. He obviously doesn't have to recruit anymore, but he has to convince those guys to play hard all the time, which is a big aspect in the NFL. He has to earn their respect since they know he's never coached or played in the NFL. And yeah, the biggest difference is at Penn State, he could have them sub in and out as he wanted. In the NFL, there will be some contract things that will determine that. He might not be, you know, he might be told how much each guy plays. That's not just the D-line coach's decision. He is a fantastic coach, recruiter, everything. This is a big loss for Penn State. Flip side, they moved on from their offensive line coach. I think there's a very real chance they got better there. Flip side, their offensive coordinator left to be a head coach somewhere else. I think it's a very real possibility that they got better at offensive coordinator. Wide receiver coach, I don't know that any of us really know. That's kind of up in the air. D-line coach, I would be very surprised if they're able to get somebody as good, if not better, than Spencer. It's a really important position next year. So this does hurt. But this is also like – Alabama loses their whole staff every year.
Right.
You know, Clemson's offensive coordinator got the head coach at USF. Like, this is big boy football. Now, I think it's interesting. Like, if you're the Giants, how do you not go for Larry Johnson from Ohio State with the guys they've been putting out? So maybe he didn't want it. Maybe he gets more, may pay more money at Ohio State.
I think Larry's a year-to-year proposition with his age and his health. I think he's you know, I think he's pretty close to, I would say he's pretty close to the end of the line. He's just not a young man anymore.
Got it. So that's certainly a distinct possibility. So Spencer, it's going to be tough for them to replace. There's no question. And for Spencer, it's a great move. Number one, he doesn't have to recruit his you-know-what off all year round, which is nice. But also, like, if they get fired with the Giants in a couple years, right, he'll have so many college D-line jobs, not even funny. And he might be able to stay in the NFL if that's what he wants to do. The NFL is typically a much better lifestyle for position coaches. You know, I even talked to Sean Spencer's wife recently at the convention, and, you know, it's nonstop. He's on his phone direct messaging kids on social media. You don't have to do that in the NFL.
All right, that's it for quarter number one from the Labatt Studio. We got to two news and notes, the most important ones. That's all we needed to get to. Stick around. You're not going to want to miss it. The start of the 2020 recruiting class and Tucker's Tape is coming up next.
Looking for a great gift for the blue and white fan in your life? Check out 409tailgateclub.com for some great ideas. You can get the tailgate box that includes all their rubs and sauces. Then there's the Bloody Mary gift box, complete with mix, bacon salt, and even pepperoni straws. Go to 409tailgateclub.com and check out their online store. And don't forget to use code KSN on checkout for a discount. That's 409tailgateclub.com and use code KSN.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.